I'm with Professor Lauren Riesberg of the Biodiversity Research Center at the University of British Columbia. We're at the 18th International Sunflower Conference, which is being held in Mar del Plata in Argentina. So, Lauren, you're doing a lot of work on sunflower genetics and working both on the cultivated species and on its wild relatives. Can you just say a little bit about the major lines of inquiry that you're following in your work?
So I'm interested in sort of three questions that are fairly closely related. I'm interested in how new species of plants arise and how they're maintained. I'm also interested in how new cultivated plants arise. And thirdly, I'm interested in how new invasive plants arise. And we're fortunate that sunflowers have all three. And so by studying the cultivated sunflower and its wild relatives, I can study all three questions in a single group.
And what have you found?
In terms of the origin of new species, my work is probably most well known for studying how new species can arise through hybridization between pre-existing species. For example, three rare endemics that are found on very extreme habitats, one in saline salt marshes, one on sand dunes, and one on the desert floor of the Mojave Desert, all have arisen via hybridization, and they've managed to adapt to those habitats by taking genes from both parents that together allow them to occupy more extreme conditions than either parent.
And can this process of hybridization, can it be used to improve the performance of the crop to which these wild species are related?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the interesting things about wild species is that they contain a reservoir of hidden or cryptic genetic variation that's only released when they're crossed with another species. So not only can you get obvious traits, like from a salt-tolerant species, you can get genes that would make the cultivated sunflower more salt-tolerant, you also can get unexpected benefits. For example, they might have small seeds, but you're going to find some alleles or some genes in that small-seeded species that actually can make the cultivated sunflower seeds bigger. And so there's both this sort of variation that you can see that's obvious because they're adapted to extreme habitats, but also you'll release a lot of this cryptic genetic variation that can be equally useful.
But not all the genetic variation that you find in the crop wild relatives, not all of that genetic variation is going to be necessarily useful to crop improvement, is it?
No, this is one of the troubling aspects of breeding with wild species. In fact, most breeders actually prefer not to use wild material. And the reason is it brings in a lot of what we would call deleterious alleles, in the sense that these alleles will cause sterility or will cause a plant that you want to be unbranched to become branched and so forth. And so one of the challenges of using the wild material is to bring in just what you want and not what you don't want.
And can you say a little bit about the sort of molecular and other tools that are allowing you to be very specific about what you bring in to the cultivated gene pool?
We can use two approaches. One is called marker-based selection and one is called genomic selection. Both of them act on the same principle, is that by actually knowing what genetic markers the genes underlying a trait are associated with, we can just track the markers rather than the phenotypic trait. We also can make sure we're not bringing any other part of the genome in other than that marker itself. And so we can be very precise. We can eliminate the problem of what's been called linkage drag, that you're always bringing in a lot of stuff that you don't want.
Can you point to any successes in the use of these techniques and bringing into the cultivated gene pool genes and diversity from the wild relatives of sunflower?
Yeah, probably the place that it has been applied most frequently is for disease resistance. So pathogens are constantly evolving resistance to genes that are already in the cultivated plant, and so you're constantly having to find new resistance genes to outwit the pathogen. And so for this, you're constantly having to bring in these novel alleles from wild species. And if we didn't have marker-assisted selection, which is now used almost exclusively for breeding disease resistance, there's no way that we would keep up with the pathogens.
And are there examples of this specifically in sunflower?
Yeah, certainly. Probably the best examples are in resistance to downy mildew and resistance to Phomopsis.
Are there particular wild relatives of sunflower that you think will be especially important in improving the crop in the future?
Yeah, I think that one of the big improvements that have to be made in the future are in the area of drought tolerance and heat tolerance. And these two traits often come side by side. And so one species that occurs down in the coastal plain of Texas called the silverleaf sunflower is highly drought tolerant and highly heat tolerant. And I think that genes and traits from this species will be particularly useful. Another species that will be useful is something called the paradoxical sunflower. This is a hybrid sunflower species that occurs in saline salt marshes, really salty marshes, and it will be very useful for making salt-tolerant cultivated sunflowers.
So this is wild species from the U.S., and of course the crop also originated in the United States, but this work will benefit developing countries, for example, in Africa and in Asia, which are currently cultivating sunflower?
Yeah, my guess is that the wild relatives will be a bigger benefit for some of the developing countries simply because of climate change. They have warmer climates. They also have more problems with saline soils and so forth. And so sunflower is not grown as much in North America because all the pests and pathogens have co-evolved with sunflowers. So sunflower is a better crop in areas of the world where it's not native. So that's the irony. Crops are probably best grown in places they were not native to.
Thank you very much.